Hey, this is Steve, and this podcast is all about making the gospel relevant to your life. That means discovering the good news of Jesus in whatever you're going through today. In this series, Jesus says that we're serving one of two masters, that you'll love one and you'll hate the other. You'll either be sweet or you'll be sour. Either way, Jesus' message is that I serve a master. Doesn't this kind of fly in the face of what we believe? Doesn't Jesus free us from serving? Isn't being a Christian independence from serving any other master? Or is my perceived freedom just a lie? We started off a couple of weeks ago kind of asking the question, what makes us have this spiritual duality in our lives, you know, where we have this sweet, you know, becoming all the things that Jesus wants us to become, and the sour, where we still struggle with all that stuff from that old life that we used to live. You know, Jesus contextualized it in talking about serving two masters, and you can't love them both. You can only love one and hate the other. And so we started looking at which one do we really love? How do we really love the sweetness? How do we love Jesus? And how do we walk away from all that sour, all that old master? And so we talked about that. We used Jesus' example in that same passage talking about money, and we saw how we have an alignment problem. We say we're all about Jesus, but we really have everything in our lives aligned all around ourselves. So we looked at that the first week. The second week, we talked about how our lives are constantly shaped by the gospel. The way to cure the alignment problem is not to just do better, but it's to daily, to weekly, to monthly, to always be living a life that is shaped by the gospel. The gospel realigns our lives around Christ and not around ourselves. And that's kind of a big deal, because a lot of us think that we move into the gospel and then move past the gospel, that once you've been a Christian for a while, you don't need the gospel anymore. But the reality is that we are not just to be marked by the gospel, but we are to be shaped by the gospel every single day of our lives. The gospel is relevant for us every single day. So that's what we've been talking about the last couple of weeks, as we've been talking about serving the right master, not serving the old master, but serving the new master. But I know that some of us are, you know, sitting there listening to all this, and we're kind of going, you know, hey, what's all this master talk? What's all this serving talk? I'm an American, right? I don't serve another master. I don't serve any master. I'm an American, so I have freedom, right? I'm free. In fact, scripture tells us it's for freedom that you've been set free. So I'm free to serve Jesus, or I'm free not to serve Jesus. I'm just free. And a lot of times what we think when the gospel, we think the gospel doesn't apply to our lives. What we're really saying is that I'm free to live my life however I want to. Don't judge me. I can do whatever I want to because I'm free in Christ. And I would say, well, yeah, you're free in Christ, but think about it. You know, as an American, you're free, right? As an American, are we the land of the free, right? Right? So are you free? Are you really free? I mean, think about it. Let's just decide that I want to take off right after the service today, and I want to drive up to our North Campus, and I want to see everybody on our awesome new North Campus. Am I free to do that? Yes. Absolutely. As an American citizen, I'm free to do that. Sorta. Right? Because, I mean, honestly, between here and there, there's several traffic lights. Am I free to just drive straight through those no matter what color they are? No, I'm subject to that law. Am I free to just discover how fast my pickup truck will take me up there? No, I'm not. I'm not free in that sense. In fact, I'm not even free to drive there on my own unless the state of Georgia authorizes me to drive there, right? So I'm free, but my freedom still comes under the authority of the government in those senses, right? Does that make sense? Right, so are you ever really free? We've looked at this verse over and over again in this series. about this in 1 Corinthians 6, that says this: you do not belong to yourself. You do not belong to yourself. This has been sort of our memory verse for the whole series so far, is that you do not belong to yourself. You're free in Christ, but you do not belong to yourself. In fact, Jesus talking about serving one of two masters, you know, it's either serving one or serving the other. You're not just free to do whatever you want. You either serve one or you serve the other. So the question is, who do you really serve? That's kind of the question we've been dancing around the last couple of weeks. Who do you really serve? 2 Peter 2 says this. This is a really interesting and powerful word here for us. Listen to this. You are a slave to whatever controls you. You are a slave to whatever controls you. So let's just look at that verse for a second. First of all, you and I are slaves. And we're slaves to whatever it is that controls us. So we say that we're free, right? But we all bow to certain things that control us. Maybe it's our temper, right? Maybe it's the alcohol. Maybe it's the marriage that's gone bad. Maybe it's the relationship. Maybe you're a pleaser and you got to please everybody and all your family, you know, and so you got to make sure they're happy. So you're not free to be the person God wants you to be. You're limited. You're serving them. You got to be whatever they demand of you, right? So you're a slave to whatever controls you. Even if you are a Christ follower, completely surrendered to him, you are a slave to the one who truly controls you. So the first blank on your page is this: my perceived freedom is really slavery. My perceived freedom is really slavery. Is that right? Am I really thinking that I'm free in Christ, but I'm really a slave? Well, I've studied the scripture some, and here's what I've discovered. Paul, the apostle, uses this term about himself over and over and over again. When he's writing letters to the church, the body of Christ, he identifies himself with this term. He's always saying, I, Paul, a bond servant for Christ, right? You see that term over and over. He's always calling himself a bond servant. And this word is a very different word from the word slave, isn't it? It's very, very different. I mean, it kind of carries a whole different connotation than the word slave. But if you go back and you really study the scripture, if you really study the terminology that you find in the original language, Paul uses this term that we translate bondservant. The term that he uses is doulos. He says, I, Paul, I am a doulos. I am doulos is what he's saying over and over and over again. And if you go back and you study, the translators have in every instance translated this word doulos into bondservant. Of course they have, because that sounds nice. It's very polite. But frankly, when you go back and study the Greek, what you find is that the word doulos literally means slave. It doesn't mean bondservant. There's a Latin word that when the scripture was originally translated from Greek and into Latin, they translated it from doulos to servus. That's the Latin word for servant. They wanted to make it a little more palatable. They wanted to make it a little more easy to understand. They wanted it to not sound so, you know, offensive as slavery. But time and time again, Paul refers to himself as a slave, not just a servant, not someone who maybe chooses and willingly helps out whenever help is needed. Paul calls himself a slave for Christ over and over again. In Romans 6, he writes, "Once you were slaves of sin, serving that old dead master, but now you wholeheartedly obey this teaching that we have given you. Now you are free from your slavery to sin, and you have become slaves to righteous living." Have we gone from one type of slavery to another? Have we gone from one type of servitude to another? In Titus writes, you are a people of his own possession. We are owned by God. You do not belong to yourself. Galatians 5:24 says we belong to Christ Jesus. Colossians 4:1 says that you have a master in heaven. Time and time and time again, we are told that Jesus is Lord. And what's the Greek word for Lord from last week? Kyrios, right? Jesus is Kyrios. He is the Lord. And so if he is the Lord, we then are the doulos. If he's Kyrios, we're doulos. If he's the master, the Lord, we are his slaves. And understanding this fact, understanding that he is our Lord, that he is our master, and that we come under his authority, that we serve him, that we belong to him, this, believe it or not, is what makes us sweet. Because it's this understanding that we do not belong to ourselves, that we're not our own, that we don't choose our own course, that we don't mark out our own destiny, that we are his, we belong to him. This realignment is what makes us fully his, fully marked by him, fully identified by him. It makes us sweet. We become sour when we choose to, you know, what we say, we choose to take our liberty in Christ. Right? We choose to take our liberty because, you know, we like to say in church that God gives us grace. You know, he just gives me grace to be whoever I am, to walk however I want to walk, to do whatever. I mean, God knows who I am and what I'm like. He knows what I'm all about. So he understands that I get angry. You know, he understands I swear like a sailor. He understands that it's hard for me to stay faithful to my wife. He understands that, you know, it's the 21st century and back in the olden days when Jesus was here, sure, you could stay sexually pure, but now, you know, come on. He understands that stuff and he gives me grace. He gives me liberty in Christ. He gives me the freedom to do what I think I want, to be whoever I am. God knows what I'm like. We have a deal going, right? And what happens is when we take our liberty in Christ, when we choose to call him Kyrios, to call him Lord, to call him Master, and when we choose to take this liberty and to do whatever we want, what we're really doing is we're claiming allegiance to two separate masters. And really, the reality is, it says right here in Romans 6, we just looked at it a second ago, the reality is the master of our own liberty is sin, right? It's the master that is mean and hurtful. It's the master that wants to beat us down and bring us into submission. It's the master that wants to destroy us. And when we fall out of our alignment with Christ and we lean into alignment around ourselves and these other masters, what happens is we're claiming an allegiance to a master that wants to destroy us. We call it our freedom in Christ, but really it's servitude to a terrible, horrible taskmaster. And it makes us sour. It creates this duality in us. You are a slave to whatever controls you. So what controls you? What controls you? I'll be honest with you. Double Stuff Oreos have amazing control over me. They really do. That was amazing control. I'll stand there at nighttime before going to bed and I'll look in the mirror, you know, and I'll say, this is it. This has got to stop. I got to do something different. No more with the Oreos. But then the next day, they're calling my name. I can hear them calling out to me, come get me, eat me, and all my chocolatey goodness, right? I mean, they're wanting me to come get them, and I just walk like a zombie, you know, and I'm like, I can't do this, and before I know it, there's, you know, 8 of them are gone, 10 of them are gone. What happened? They have this amazing control over me. I know that I need to experience the freedom to become what I'm supposed to become, thin and good-looking. But I fall to the control of Nabisco, right? I fall to the control of the evil taskmaster that turns me into a big, flat, fat, flabby mess. You know what I'm talking about? What is it that controls you? What is it that controls you? Maybe it is the anger. God just knows. I just can't control it. I just yell. I just break stuff every now and then, and he knows it's okay. We have a deal. Maybe it's the language. Maybe it's the substances. Maybe it's the money. Maybe it's the pornography. Maybe you're one of those that's like I used to be, you know, you'll say my spiritual gift is sarcasm. Right? That's my spiritual gift, sarcasm, sure. But you know, that sarcasm comes with a bite. And it's hurtful to people. It's not sweet, it's sour. You know, maybe the thing that controls you is that mentality about who you are. I can't keep a man. You know, I can't maintain a monogamous relationship with a woman. You know, what is it? What is it that controls you? What is it that's lying to you and telling you that you're just a beaten down servant of that master when you could experience slavery to Christ, which is an entirely different thing? That's what Jesus did on the cross. Am I right? That's what Jesus did on the cross, is he saw your master. He saw whatever that was that you were bowing to, that you were cowering down before, whatever it was that you were pouring your life out for, that was just a waste and destroying you and making you separate from God. He saw that you were pouring yourself out to the horrible taskmaster of sin and that you could not get out of that situation. And he loved you so much that he knew that the only way to get you out of there was to buy your way out with blood, with death. You had to die to get out from under that relationship. And you couldn't do that yourself, so he did it for you. Jesus came and went to the cross, and on the cross, all of the sin that I bowed down to was lifted off of me, all that burden of sin taken away from me and put onto Jesus, and Jesus was punished for my sin. Jesus paid for my sin. He bought my freedom from that taskmaster. He died on the cross for me, and he rose again, and now gives his life to me all over again. He says, let me live through you. And my life as a response to the gospel is a daily repentance, a laying down of my life and a taking up of his cross and following him. That's what it's really all about. And what happens is what it says in Romans 6. It says, well then, look at this. Well then, here's where we're at. Here's where we're all at. This is what makes us sour right here. Since God's grace has set us free from the law, does that mean we can go on sinning? Of course not, he says. Don't you realize that you became a slave to whatever you choose to obey? You can be a slave to sin, which leads to death and makes you sour, or you can choose to obey God, which leads to righteous living. You can choose your master. You do not have to continue to serve that horrible taskmaster, making you worse and worse and worse, loading on a heavier and heavier burden, making you miserable every day while deceiving you to think that you're happy. You can choose to serve the master that will give you freedom, that will give you grace, that will give you love, that will heal all of your old wounds, that will restore all of your old relationships, and that will make you sweet once and for all. It goes on in verse 17. Thank God, he says, once you were slaves of sin, but now you wholeheartedly obey this teaching we have given you. Now you are free from your slavery to sin, and you have become slaves to righteous living. Because of the weakness of your human nature, I'm using the illustration of slavery to help you understand all this. Previously, you let yourselves be slaves to impurity and lawlessness. See, previously, not anymore. When you become Christ, you're no longer your own. He becomes your Kyrios, and you become a slave to him. Why do you continue to go back to that old previous life where you're a slave to that horrible taskmaster? He says that led ever deeper into sin. Now you must give yourselves to be slaves to righteous living so that you will become holy. That's the process of sanctification in our lives. When you were slaves to sin, you were free from the obligation to do right. And what was the result? You are now ashamed of the things you used to do, things that end in eternal doom. But now you are free from the power of sin and have become slaves to God. Now you do those things that lead to holiness and result in eternal life. For the wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life through Christ Jesus our Lord. I have been crucified with Christ, and it's no longer I that live, but Christ lives in me. For me to live is Christ. I am shaped by the gospel, and I'm a slave to righteousness, and I'm no longer a slave to sin. So I don't obey that old master anymore. I have walked away and renounced that old master. I have not been given Christ so that I can continue to live for that old master. You hear me? Jesus did not pour his life out, shed his blood, so that you could continue to serve the old master. He died on the cross so that you could serve the real master, so that you could serve him. Next blank on your page, Jesus died to free you from that old identity, not to that old identity. He died to free you from sin, not free you to sin. So Christian, stop lying to yourself and saying, I'm taking my freedom in Christ and I can do whatever I want to do because I'm free to live however. Stop lying to yourself. You're serving two masters. Drop it. Put it down. Walk away from it. That old master has been killed on the cross. Jesus took it out for you. He was so angry that you served that old master that he wanted to kill that master, and it was a murder-suicide. He took himself out in the process to kill off that old master so that you could serve him and not that sour old taskmaster. Can I get an amen on that? Amen. Come on. So Paul calls himself a slave to Christ. In Galatians 4, he says, when the right time came, God sent his son, born of a woman, subject to the law. God sent him to buy freedom for us who were slaves to the law so that he could adopt us as his very own children. This is gold. I love this. Look at this. Not only does he buy freedom for us, not only does he die on the cross so that we can be free from that old taskmaster, but he could adopt us as his very own children. He didn't just make us his slaves, but he has made us his children. He has brought us into his family. He has called us his own and not just simple slaves. This is incredible news. In 1968, there was a baby born, and at this time, nobody knows who the biological parents were. This little boy was born, and the mom and the dad, for whatever reason, no one's really sure exactly, but for whatever reason, the parents were unfit to raise that child. Didn't have enough money, didn't have enough of a relationship between the two of them, were too young, were incapable, could not raise that child. And that child's life would have been a disaster if those parents had tried to raise him. And so in 1968, they gave the baby up for adoption. And two new parents came along and said, we'll take that baby. We want a baby. We can't have a baby of our own. We want to have this child. And they adopted this baby. You know, I looked it up and what it means to be adopted, especially in the Greek sense, it means a complete transference of ownership. It means a cancellation of all previous relationships and a cancellation of all previous debts. It means that adoption means that the adoptee is brought into an entirely new relationship. And so these new parents, these new non-biological parents raised this child, this little boy. And this little boy was raised always knowing that he was adopted. They raised him. There was never one of these things where you get to be 18, 19, 20 years old and the parents are like, oh, guess what? By the way, we're not really your parents, psych. You know, there was never one of these big revelations. They always raised this child knowing that he was chosen, that he was special, that the mom and the dad just wanted a child of their own and just couldn't have one of their own. So they chose this special child and brought him into their family and they raised him as their own. And here's the thing, this child whose life would have been a disaster, whose life would have been a complete shambles, who probably would have had no purpose and no direction in life, was loved and nurtured and cared and is now the pastor of this church. Yeah. Yeah. And so the next blank in your page is this, fill this in. I am adopted by a new master. I am adopted by a new master. When you come into the new family, when God adopts you of his own, you know what he does? Is he transfers his son Jesus into you. He completely replaces you with the person of Jesus Christ. You take on an entirely new identity. You're no longer part of that old master family. You're part of a brand new family. In John 15, Jesus says this to us, to his disciples. He says, I no longer call you slaves because a master doesn't confide in his slaves. Now you are my friends. Since I've told you everything the Father has told me, you didn't choose me, I chose you. If God's, I love what Martin Lloyd-Jones says. He says this, if God has adopted you into his family, if you are a child of God, your destiny is secure. It is certain. It is a guarantee. If God has taken me into the family, I am not only a child, I am an heir. And nothing and no one can ever rob me of the inheritance. Galatians 4, 6 and 7 says, because we are his children, God has sent the Spirit of his Son into our hearts, prompting us to call out, Abba, Father. Now you are no longer a slave, but God's own child. And since you are his child, God has made you an heir. He's made you an heir. You're not just simply a slave of that old horrible taskmaster anymore. You are a child of the King and an heir to the throne, a co-heir with Christ. Next blank on your page is this. The adoptee takes on the character of his new family. You see that? The adoptee doesn't hang on to that old slavery, doesn't hang on to that old servitude, doesn't hang on to the results of being serving that old master, but he takes on the character of his new family. My sister looks at me all the time when I'm talking to her, and I'll say something, and she'll say, yeah, that's what Dad would say. That's what Dad always says. Or, yeah, your personality, I see this and that from mom in you. And she's not talking about my biological parents. I don't even know my biological parents. But I have taken on the characteristics of my mom and dad, the two people that raised me, that chose to bring me into their family and love me, call me their own. And I'm becoming more and more like them. Boy, as you get older, you know, you become more and more like your parents. It's true even of adoptees. You become more and more like your parents. And I hope it's true of you in your walk with Christ. I hope as an adoptee, as a slave to your new master, you're becoming more and more like him. That's what we're really saying here. We're saying that he died to set you free from that old master. And just like in the state of Georgia, you're free to move around and do whatever you want to, but you still come under, right, the state laws when you're driving. It's the same thing in your relationship with Christ. Your shackles have come off and you're no longer bound to all those other terrible things that ruin your life and bring you to disaster. But you, in Romans 12, 2, you are not to copy the behavior and customs of this world, but you are letting God transform you into a new person by changing the way you think. When you serve the new master, you're no longer bound to serve the worldly masters. You're no longer bound by the things of the world. You're no longer serving the things that lead to death. And the last blank on your page is this. Slavery to God is the highest level of freedom humanly possible. You're not a slave to the kings and the rulers of this world any longer. You are now a slave only to God, and you can become the person that God truly designed and created you to be. That's why it says in Philippians 1:16, for me to live is Christ. For me to live is Christ, to allow him to live through me. So I'm asking you today, are you still wrestling with that duality in your life? Or are you serving your true master? Are you bucking against him when he says, I want you to be this? Or are you willingly say, yes, Lord, I serve you? You know, God's called us as a group We really believe, our elders, our leaders in our church really believe that God's called us to become a people of financial peace, to no longer be subject to the rulers of our worldly economy, but to free us up from that rule and to serve Him with our finances. And I'm so proud because we were hoping and happy if 50, 60 people would choose to be involved in that. But I think we got about 140 or so people involved in Financial Peace University. We just had our first class this past week. And yeah, our church is doing this. It's amazing. It's amazing the people at Dave Ramsey's organization. They're literally going, how are you doing this? How are you doing this? We work with churches where there's thousands of people in the church and we never see a class over about 30 or 40. What are you doing here at this church? And we're like, well, we're being obedient. We know who our master is. And we serve our master. We're not going to serve the economy of America or the global economy. No, we're free to serve the ultimate master. We're bypassing all that other stuff. And it's not too late for you. We're 1 week in, and this is your last chance. This week, we're meeting tonight. Sunday's, by the way, full. Sunday is full. Don't come tonight. Please don't come tonight. But Tuesday and Wednesday are still open. We still have some seating available in those two. Do not continue. I'm begging you, do not continue to serve the worldly economy. That is an evil taskmaster that is destroying you. But learn the freedom of Christ in this area. Go to the information desk after the service is over and sign up for a Tuesday or a Wednesday. Or if you're following along on your live event, you can sign up right now, right where you're sitting without even getting up. I'm begging you to do that. Maybe you're here today and maybe you just need to surrender your life to your true master. Maybe today's the day that you step out of slavery from that old taskmaster and step into your right relationship with Christ. If you're here today and you'd like to surrender your life to Him, you can do so right now where you sit. I won't even ask you to stand up or come to the front of the room. You can just do so by the simple prayer of repentance and faith. The prayer doesn't save you, it's not magic. Jesus saves you. But this prayer articulates the condition of your heart. Just repeat it after me. It's simple. It's a prayer of repentance and faith. It goes like this. Dear Heavenly Father, I realize I'm a sinner. I've broken your heart by breaking your law, and I'm sorry. I don't want to live that way anymore. Thank you for sending Jesus to die in my place. I now ask for your forgiveness. I ask you to come into my life, to change me, to make me new. Lord, from this day forward, I won't serve any of those old masters. I won't even serve myself. From this day forward, you are my master. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. Hey everyone, this is Steve. If you prayed that prayer today, that prayer of repentance and faith, and you surrendered your life to Christ, man, the Orchard Church, all of us would love to know about it, and we'd love to be praying for you. Hey, no strings attached, but if you would let us know that you prayed that prayer, man, it would sure be a blessing to us, and we would sure love to be a blessing to you by praying for you on an ongoing basis. If you'll just email me at hello@orchardelijah.com. That's hello@orchardelijah.com. OrchardELLIJAY.com. We'd love to be able to know about that and to be praying for you.